Really an honor and a pleasure to be with you Saints tonight, because I know what you stand for, and I know what it is you stand for. So that's really a tremendous thing. Amazing Grace, I used to sing that doing rounds as a security guard. I even sung it in cement pipes and got excellent reverberation out of it when I was 20 years old. And certainly I was saved by Amazing Grace, and certainly I'm a wretch if I want to put it like that in comparison with a holy God. And so I'm thankful for that, and I really know what the words, I was blind, but now I see, and then the Lord brought me to the knowledge of the dispensation of the mystery, and boy, overabundance isn't even a word that can be compared with what we see now. And so I'd like to open with the word of God. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to gather your precious word. We thank you for this life that we have in 2017. We thank you for your precious word that is light unto our path, our tremendous calling, the revealing of God's, the Father's sacred secret revealed. That's what I term it as. It's the sacred secret, but it's revealed. The dispensation of the mystery, just tremendous, tremendous truth. Astounding. There are no human words that that can explain it. We're going to be talking about the fullness of God tonight again, in all of these lessons, explaining what that is, having a little bit of fun in the scriptures tonight, getting back into Daniel 9 and further, the weeks of years. And so we pray that your blessing would be upon us. We pray that you would give us the strength to walk circumspectly, to walk uprightly, to have our minds constantly on you, because we know we have an enemy. We know that we need your strength every minute of every day, as the song goes, and that's so true. So we pray for your enlightenment through the Holy Spirit that dwells in us upon this lesson given by this lowly saint. In the name of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, amen. Well, you know, last time we were talking about the book of Daniel, and we were talking about always in these lessons, you know, I'm trying to go over, you know, in multiple lessons what the fullness of God is. Many occurrences of the word fullness. What does fullness mean? And so we're gonna do some interesting things tonight, or one interesting thing before we go back to Daniel 9. We'll be in Daniel 9 if we get there. We'll be in Luke 21 if we get there. We're gonna be in Revelation 12 if we get there. Let me explain to you. The Greek form for fullness in the New Testament is pleroma. And what does that mean? Okay, so all of these lessons have to do with the fullness of God. Well, what is that? All right, well, it takes us back to the operation of the Father, what he's willing to do through the Son and by the witness of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Scriptures are all about. That's what our calling is about. And this is it's a beautiful, awesome subject. It really is. Well, pleroma means pleroma. It's not pleroma. It's pleroma. It means repletion or completion. Well, what does repletion mean? And we're gonna, we're gonna look at fullness in the Scriptures. Well, fullness means that what fills. So it's the substance of what fills something, or what is filled. And so, as we think about the fullness of Almighty God, we can think about what he's using to fill, and how he's, and what he is filling, or what is filled, what is, used to fill, and what is filled. Well, the Almighty God, according to the lessons of Ron, is he's got a purpose, the ultimate purpose of God, right? Well, the fullness has everything to do with the purpose of God, and so, you know, what about that? What is God doing? You could say that easily in a sentence. Well, what's God up to? And repletion means completely filled. Repletion means gorged or richly supplied. So the Godhead is about something. They're about completely filling something. They're about gorging something to the full. Well, what is that? And then completion means to finish. It means to perfect. It means having nothing missing or lacking. And so something happened, as we know, in creation. And was there ever a fullness? We could ask the question. Was there ever a pleroma in God's creation? Well, yes, of course there was. In the beginning, the spiritual realm was created, Lucifer being at its head, its ambassador, the go-between, between the myriads. We have no idea how many angels, principalities, and powers there are, but I'm guessing there's billions. If we, you know, if there's thousands and millions and billions, so the scriptures talk about 10,000 of 10,000, thousands of thousands, and so we might sit back and we might think about that, because we think, you know, we're limited to mankind, but in our thinking a lot, but and of course we don't have angels ministering to us today as Israel. But nevertheless, there's probably countless millions of principalities, powers, and angels. That's interesting to think about. So what I'm going to do initially before I go back to Daniel 9 and the weeks of years is I'm going to do something here, and we're going to have a little bit of fun with this. We're going to ask we're going to go just through some history of the scriptures, starting with Lucifer, all right? Lucifer and the created angelic creation, of which there were millions, right? Okay, so we're going to ask these questions. What if? What was it possible? And what really happened? Three questions. What if? Okay? All right, so you're saying, well, what if? What's wrong with this guy? Well, what isn't? But this all carries out all through the scriptures, actually, because we find you're wondering, what am I doing? Okay, what if Lucifer hadn't fallen? All right, what if Lucifer did not fall? Okay, well, you'd say, well, what are you doing? You know, like he did, so what's the point? Okay, well, then I can ask you the question, was it possible that he wouldn't have fallen? And you'd have to say, well, yeah, maybe it's possible that he wouldn't have fallen. And then I could say, well, what if he didn't? And maybe we could speculate, which isn't good, but we could say, well, then the fullness of God would have been retained in the angelic creation, and maybe man would have never been created. But third question, what really happened? All right? And so, what really happened is Lucifer fell, he became Satan. He took a third of the myriads of angels with him, and he totally wrecked the universe, the creation of God, and it became darkness as darkness, no other darkness. It became the deep, and he was entrapped in that deep. All right? But was it possible that he might not have fallen? I would say, as God gives all of his created beings the possibility of following his will or not, the possibility, was it possible? Yes. I'm going to say that. All right? But what really happened? So he fell, right? And so then darkness was upon the face of the deep, and there was no fullness anymore. Okay, so then what really happened is there was no fullness anymore. But think about this. If you think about the fullness of God, and you think about how he operates, he already had an answer to this before Lucifer even fell. I mean, think about it, all right? Just think about it, because if what I'm saying is true and the scriptures are true, we were called in the Godhead through the Son before anything was possible. And so we find that the Father wills and plans and has made provision even before anything could happen. Does that make sense to you? Think about that though. If in fact we were called before Lucifer fell, then the what if and was it possible was already taken care of. Does that make sense to you? And if what I'm saying is true, this is how God Almighty operates. Let's move on. So the earth was recreated, and it was pulled out of this dark abyss, and it became a shining wonder with light. And then man and woman were placed here, right? Adam and Eve. Well, what if Adam and Eve hadn't fallen? Was it possible? Well, my answer is they walked with God for a while, probably not a long period of time, but was it possible that they wouldn't have fallen? You could say, well, come on. But I'm saying to you, as far as the Lord deals with his creation, was it possible? And I'm saying, yes, it was. And so, if that was possible, then the progeny of Adam and Eve, if they would have walked with God, no matter how many millions and millions of them would have been created, God would have had a fullness through the human creation. But what really happened? The third question. Well, we know that we have the evil one. Now, he's in the picture. And so what really happened is that they did not walk with God and they fell, right? They fell, and so they were led out into a sinful world, a world of sin. And sin is terrible. There's nothing glorious about sin whatsoever. The world of sin that we live in is just like the deep that Satan was in. It's black. And the Lord even said, he came into this world and he was a light unto the world. And so you take Christ out of the world, and what do you have? We have complete darkness, just like the deep. And so so Adam and Eve fell. Was it possible that they wouldn't have fell? Yeah, it's possible. But what really happened? They fell. Okay? And what did the Father have going? Because he knew about that. Well, we have Genesis 3, the seed of the woman and the seed of Satan. And so automatically the Father knew. The Father knew before it even happened that they would fall, even though it was possible that they wouldn't. Okay? So then you progress on, and we could really thoroughly go into this and talk about this a lot, but then mankind was supposed to worship God the Creator. And what if they would have worshipped God as the Creator? I don't know. That's a really good question. Was it possible? Well, I would say hopefully yes. Well, of course, it didn't take long before the first murder happened. And so that what really happened is that ended in destruction, and then mankind was given the scriptures in the stars. They could have read it, they could have believed and worshipped the Creator, but 2 billion of them didn't, 8 did, and then the Lord almost wiped out the world. And so we have the flood in Noah and his 3 sons and their 4 wives. Okay, so after that, Noah and his 3 sons and 4 wives lived, and they began to propagate the world. And then were they given the possibility of worshiping God and all their progeny correctly? Was it possible that they could do that? Well, I would have to say yes. What if they would have worshiped God as the Creator? I don't know what would have happened. But we do know that this coming seed was promised. And so that would be a little bit interesting. Well, what really happened? Well, again, Satan infiltrated mankind. Created the great Nimrod, and the Tower of Babel kind quickly plunged into worshiping Satan. And so we have Satan here, the opposer, the accuser. Okay, and so then we have Israel, right? God chooses Israel out of Egypt. He pulls them out of there. He does marvelous, wonderful things with them. And then he promises them a land, right? What if all of Israel would have entered that land? Was it possible? Well, I'm going to say, what if they would have entered the land? I don't know. That's interesting. Was it possible? Well, I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say that according to how God Almighty works, it was possible for all of them to enter the land. But what really happened? The third question. Well, they fell in the wilderness, and only those that were 20 years of age, Joshua and Caleb, and that progeny of younger people entered the land, and the rest died off in the wilderness. All right, that's interesting. And so we see how the Almighty is working, and this has to do with His fullness. And so at one time He was all, and He's working to a fullness. He's working to the definition, even today, yes, even today, and especially today with the mystery, because He's going to bring in a fullness that's perfect, that's gorged and overflowing with righteousness, His righteousness. That's what He's doing. All right, so then we have Israel. Israel, after that, we were discussing in Daniel 9, they went into captivity many times, and then they were instructed to build a temple again, which they had at one time, and then they screwed that up, and then, putting it in street terms, and then, he had them build the temple again. And then the coming Christ was coming down the line in 400 years, which was promised in Genesis 3. And then he came upon the scene in the fullness of times, according to Galatians. And what if Israel would have accepted their Messiah? What if? Was it possible? Well, what if they would have accepted their Messiah? What if? Well, that's an interesting question. Would they have crucified Him? Would the millennial kingdom have come into being? That's an interesting question. I'm not going to go there exactly, because there's a lot of prophecies that prophesy about the crucifixion of Christ, that He was cut off, according to Daniel. And so, but was it possible that Israel would have accepted their Messiah as a whole? I'm going to say yes. Yes, it was. And here we go. What if? Was it possible? What if? Was it possible? And all along, from myriads of time, from when Lucifer was created, right up until the time of Christ being on the scene, we have God working with what if, was it possible, but what really happened. And so then we have the Lord Jesus Christ. He came unto the world. He came unto His own. They did not accept Him. Could they have accepted Him? Yes. But then they didn't accept Him. And so then He gave them a period of time to repent again. The Acts period. And I'm going to say, personally, Mike's going to say, that it's 5 weeks of years, 35 years. And so what if Israel would have repented? Interesting questions. Was it possible? Well, if they would have repented, then we would have had Revelation come into the forefront, the book of Revelation. And was it possible that Israel, after the Acts period, would have repented? The answer is, yeah, I think so. Right? I mean, otherwise we're robots, and otherwise Israel's a robot, Lucifer's a robot, Satan's a robot, and we're all robots, and we don't have a choice. But we do. And so God the Father is working with all of these what-ifs, all of these possibilities, but He's also working with what really happens. And, of course, we're no better. Okay, so we can't stand here and look at Israel. We can't stand here and look at all of these folks, maybe, we can look at Tannock folks a little differently. But for all the people that had a chance with possibilities with the Almighty, we're no better. And if we think we are, as the scriptures say, you're deceived if you believe that you have no sin. And so the Son of God came for you as well as anybody else. And so at the end of Acts, what really happened? Okay, what if Israel would have repented? Was it possible? And what really happened? Well, amazingly, I mean, think about this. At the setting aside of Israel, our dear Heavenly Father goes back and he brings forth what was in his mind before Lucifer even fell. Think about that. You know what I mean? So what was in his mind with the church, which is the fullness of the one who fills, came out through the Apostle Paul. Think about it. And so what he's doing is he's bringing about his plan of fullness, and we see how he's doing it and what he has to work with. Okay? So in a big way, he doesn't have a problem. We do. We're the ones with a problem. We always look at him and in our little ways say, hey, what are you doing? What about this? What about that? We are the ones with the problem. The creation is the problem. But he's working out his fullness in spite of us. All right, so what's amazing is that in this study of the fullness, we should understand how the Father, through the Son, by witness of the Holy Spirit, how they operate, how they're operating. And we can see through the course of time and even before the world was recreated, how the Father thinks. And it is awesome, to say the least. It is awesome, and I can't, I don't know how to explain things, but I do know this, that it's awesome. We have an awesome God. We do. And so what he's doing is he's bringing about complete fullness and complete righteousness. All right? And so I just wanted to throw a little bit of that what if, what was it possible, and what really happened sort of thing along, just so that we might try to understand how he's working out his fullness. All right, so up until, I suppose, except for a select few, up until Acts 28, how many, let's just talk about the relation of those that walked with God and chose to do so, as opposed to those who chose not to walk with God. What's the relation? 1 to 10, 1 to 50, 1 to 100. And the reason I'm saying this is that I think that I could say that for the most part, the majority was in rejection of the Godhead. Would you agree with that? The majority, as we study out the scriptures, the majority of human beings that were supposed to walk in the principles given by the Almighty failed. And there was a select few, always a remnant, always a remnant, always a remnant. And so we find that we find a few believers that believed in the Lord. We find a number of few believers in the Old Testament that walked with the Lord. We find relatively in number a few believers that believed in the Lord through the Holy Spirit. And then whammo, at the end of Acts 28, it was all set aside. So we can say, oh man, that doesn't seem too full to me. You know, where is the fullness of the Almighty that he's working after? What's happening? Well, all of a sudden you have his first redemptive plan idea given out as the dispensation of the mystery. Think of it. And so, can, you know, other than a few believers, I don't know if I can say that, I kind of hesitate to say that, in a big way, his church is a big part of fulfilling, to say that, his plan of fullness. And so, how can I say that? Well, let's just, and I know, you know, where are we going? Well, will we get to Daniel 9? Maybe next time, maybe this time. But think about what's going to happen in the plan of God, all right? And this might help you unravel with the thinking of Mikey, okay, here tonight. What's the next big thing in the plan of God to happen? Well, without thinking of it, it's the manifestation of the body of Christ, the fullness of the one who fills. Correct or not? I believe it is. And so when you're talking about God putting together his gorging out his fullness, we're going to be first in resurrection. All right? And we are the fullness of the one who fills. And I'm going to say that I don't know exactly what that means, but I'm going to say some things. I'm going to say that fullness needs to be investigated, what that exactly means. Because we're talking about the fullness of God, and then we're talking about the fullness of the Son, and we're talking about the Church, which is Christ's body. Am I making something bigger than it is? Not really. I'm just talking about what's in the Scriptures. How about this one? The word fullness is found more in Ephesians and Colossians than it is in all other New Testament books. And that isn't by accident. We should be, our ears should spring up like a Doberman, and we should be investigating that one. Fullness occurs 7 times in Ephesians and Colossians, and it occurs less in all the rest of the New Testament books. And so, let's just look at the order in which godly things are going to occur. Okay, and I think this is, I'm just going to review really quickly, like the plan of God. The plan to bring about his fullness. And then, you know, like I said, eventually we'll get to Daniel 9, Luke 21, and Revelation 12, talking about other callings in this fullness. Because, you know, you could say, well, what are we talking about Revelation 12 and Daniel 9 for anyway? What does that do for us? Well, it helps us understand the fullness of God. That's what it does. And then if we have a great, great part of that fullness, being the fullness of the Son, well, then, and see how he works with other peoples. And that's tremendous, you know? And we are a mystery. You know, we gotta remember that in all of the Scriptures, we weren't found. I mean, you know, that's stunning to say the least. In all of the Old Testament, all of the talk about angelic realms and what they were, all talk about Abraham and talk about Noah and talk about Adam and Moses and all these great people of the Lord, we weren't, not a speck of us was found there. And then whammo, a mystery, the Father's will was revealed. Whammo, a one that's fuller than full. That, you know, it's, I can't even believe I'm saying these words. Nevertheless, and do I understand totally what I'm saying? No. How can I describe what the fullness of the Son is in the heavenlies? We don't have a bit of visual information of what that is. Nevertheless, we have faith, right? We have faith, and it is true. It's the holy word of God. And so, after the manifestation of the church, which is Christ's body, then what comes next is week 68 through 70 of Daniel. And you could, I'm not perfect. You could say, I don't believe that. Okay. But as far as I'm concerned, then weeks 68 through 70 come about in the revealing of the man of sin and the tribulation occur. Did the tribulation occur? Well, the answer is no. Was the man of sin claiming to be God Almighty and having power over the earth to buy and sell? Did that happen yet? No. So that's going to happen. And so that is the next thing that is going to happen, the fulfillment of Daniel's week 68 through 70. And like I said, week 68 and 69 are, I don't know them well, but I'm searching. Week 70, we're going to go over. Week 70 of Daniel is, there is a lot of information about it. And so after the man of sin comes and the tribulation occurs, then the Son of God comes back for the second time. And he sets up the millennial kingdom for 1,000 years. All right? And so this is a plan of the fullness of the Almighty, bringing back, gorging the world, gorging the heavenlies with his righteousness. And so Israel will be as they should have been, a nation of priests, a blessing to the world for 1,000 years. And Deaton is bound. Really interesting, because he's been at work for, he's been at work for what, 6,000 years and countless, who knows what, before that, with the angelic realm, right? We don't know if time was reckoned before the recreation of the world or not. It was a spiritual realm, even though it was fallen. And so he's been a thorn in the side of the Almighty for countless myriads of time, but he's going to be bound up. That's something really special and specific. After the 1,000-year reign, the Battle of Armageddon will happen. Interesting. And so what's that about? Well, that will be the final breath of the evil one, his final rebellion, and mankind will have a part of that if choose. And then after that, Satan will be destroyed. All the wicked fallen angels will be destroyed. Think about this. The fullness of God. Principalities and powers and all wickedness of this spiritual realm will be destroyed. The earth, and I believe the material universe as we know it, will be burned up. That's something to think about. Because initially, God was all in the universe. But when Lucifer fell, it became the dark abyss, the deep. And it has continued to be that way until the earth was recreated. And then a lot of things are happening here now with the Son of God, with all of the callings, and then eventually after Armageddon and after Satan and principalities and powers that are fallen are destroyed, the earth and the material universe, I believe, will be burned up totally. And that's extremely interesting, because then you find that you do not have any more. You don't have anything anymore that that was instituted by the fall of Lucifer, by the fall of mankind, by the destruction of evil angels, by the rejection of Israel. That's all burned up. Interesting. Okay? So you talk about the fullness of God, well, whammo, look at this. And then there will be a new earth. I'm going to speculate and say it's going to be like the earth that once was when Lucifer was not fallen. And then there's going to be a new heavens. No sin, no pain. And the New Jerusalem, calling, will be a part of that. And then, in totality, God will be all in all. And so, when we go through these studies, we have to keep in mind the backdrop and the workings of God the Almighty. And, you know, we look out into the world today, we look at our flesh, we look out into the world today, and what's happening, and we can, if we tend to look at that too much, we can tend to get bummed out. We can tend to get disheartened, and, you know, but that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to, set our hearts, on our calling, on things above. And if God is true, which He is, that's more true than any of our feelings. It's more true than any of our thoughts. Anything in the flesh, it's more true of that. And so that's our destiny. And so we can look into our destiny, that is the fullness of the one who fills, and start getting involved in what we're supposed to. I'm saying that to myself. I always preach to myself because, you know, I'm worse at anything than all of you. So, but if this helps you, that's great. And so now we're going to turn back to Daniel 9 for a few minutes, okay, going back to where we were. And so what are we going to do now? Well, we're going back, and we're looking at the prophecy of Daniel. And the prophecy of Daniel many great people of God have said you cannot understand the book of Revelation unless you understand the prophecy of Daniel. Am I trying to attempt for us of the Church of Jesus Christ body to understand the book of Revelation? No, not at all. But like I said, if we can, you know, in the study of the fullness, if we can look at other callings and how the Almighty is working out His fullness in them, we can understand His total plan and our place in it, and then maybe we can understand how excellent our place in this fullness is. Right? I mean, what's wrong with understanding how excellent our place is in the Lord? What's wrong with that? I know the evil one doesn't want that. He doesn't want that for us. He doesn't want us to concentrate on how excellent us being the fullness of the Creator is. Now, does he? No. But that, it's almost maybe our minds keep us from understanding the beauty and the power of what that is. You know, we're tempted maybe to think, oh, that's not possible. But it is possible. It's true. And so, well, let's turn back to Daniel 9, and I'll stop jabbering here. Daniel 9:24, and we'll just start going over this. We're going to go over some statements of the Lord eventually. If not tonight, eventually in Luke 21, because that's really important. And I believe that Luke 21 and Revelation 12 are cemented together. And then I can ask this question. I guess the question: when was the book of Revelation written? Does it matter to us? Maybe. But when was the book of Revelation written? Well, certainly, after we read Luke 21, we're gonna say maybe the book of Revelation was the first book written by anybody other than Matthew and Mark in the New Testament. And why is that? Well, we get back to what if, you know, what if Israel would have accepted the Lord? Was it possible? What if Israel would have accepted the Lord at the end of the Acts period? Was it possible? Would Revelation, the would the acts of revelation, would the truth in revelation have started up at the end of Acts if Israel would have repented? My personal answer is yes. Would revelation have started up if Israel would have accepted the Messiah? Interesting question, isn't it? My answer, just off the top of my head, is yes. Why is that? Because there's still Satan to deal with. All right, Satan was still alive and well when the Lord was on the planet, and so he still has to be dealt with. And where he's dealt with is in Revelation 20 and 21. And so, whatever would have happened with the nation of Israel, he still had to be dealt with. Now, this is a kind of a encompassing study, and you might have opinions and say you're wrong. Great. I welcome any good question or any good answer or any good statement to these things. But let's go back. Finally, Daniel 9. 70 weeks are determined on the people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy of holies, possibly. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince, that's Christ, shall be 7 weeks. Stop. Then it should say, and 62 weeks, stop. Because the 7 weeks have to do with the next statement. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. These 70 weeks occurred between 454 B.C. and 405 B.C. with the dedication of the temple in 405 B.C. It goes on to say, and after 62 weeks, this is talking about the Messiah now. See, these aren't to be added. They're to be separated. 7 weeks talks about one period. 62 weeks talks about another one. And it goes on to say, and after 62 weeks or 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. That means to say, and he shall have nothing. Or what that means is that he will be rejected and crucified, more or less. He shall have nothing as far as the nation of Israel is concerned. It goes on to say, and the people of the prince, this is another prince, that shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. Well, what's interesting is if you look at Revelation 12, you'll have this flood being talked about. And I'm going to say that this flood is probably people and not water. It probably has to do with the people of the coming prince, the man of sin. Because in Revelation 12, this same flood is after, going after the fleeing Israel. You'll read that in Revelation 12. And again, do we need to know this? Well, it's the Word of God. It goes on to say, and unto the end of war desolations are determined, and he shall confirm, the man of sin shall confirm the covenant with many, with Israel. This is coming. And last time I discussed what's happening over there in Israel, on the Temple Mount. And I said to you that I have I'm researching this because the temple and the tabernacle has always been interesting to me. The Holy of Holies has always been really interesting to me because that's where God dwells, you know. That's where he dwelt, that's where he dwelt with mankind on earth. That's really important, you know. I mean, to say the least. And so, when this man of sin comes along, apparently the tabernacle, the temple is going to be rebuilt. And we discussed before that there is nothing on that Temple Mount whatsoever of Israel. And what I told you before, if you study it out, the Muslims, they are trying to even annihilate any history of Israel having anything to do with that mount, happening right now in 2017. That's what's going on over there. But as we discussed before, and as I researched it, it's very possible that the temple will be built on the Temple Mount, towards one side of it, right next to the mosque of the Muslims. And so there'll possibly be two temples there, one of the Muslims and one of Israel, because of political, political correctness. It could very well be that as time goes on, that the Muslim nations will give Israel some mercy and have them build the temple back there. And so then they cohabit the Temple Mount, but then the man of sin comes. Alright? Then the man of sin comes in a short period of time, and what does he do? I believe that when this temple is rebuilt of Israel, that it's not going to take too much time before the man of sin is on the scene. And then what he's going to do is he's going to wipe out Israel and their temple. Again, he's going to make a covenant with them, a covenant that looks good to the world for 3.5 years. But then he's going to break it. And we're going to read about him. He's going to turn around, and not only will he disavow any God of Israel, but he's going to claim to be God himself. I mean, think about it. Think about that. And so that's coming up. That's coming up. But it's all part of this fullness. And so we go on to read, and he shall confirm the covenant with many, with Israel, for 1 week, and in the midst of 1 week, or after 3.5 years of seven, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And so what we're talking about now is we're talking about the plan of the fullness of God after the manifestation of the Church of Jesus Christ's body. Because all along, if Israel... certainly if Israel would have accepted their Messiah at the end of Acts, would have come about. All right, now, again, it's a lot, you know, to take in, I suppose. Or maybe I could say that you guys are sitting back and going, oh, I know this, I know that, I know this, and I know that. Well, great. Maybe you can teach me, you know, maybe you can say something to me. I welcome everything. Okay, so we turn to Luke 21, all right? So remembering all the things we've talked about, all right, we look at Luke 21, and this is before the end of 62 weeks. It's the Lord talking, all right? It's just before he's cut off. And what is he talking about? It's interesting. So, you know, with all these things going on, it's like a puzzle, in a sense. I don't want to demean the Word of God, but in a sense, you have all these truths going on, all these facets of the Word of God, and of truth, and of peoples, and of callings, and you know, these pieces are not fitting. Sometimes they fit. You know, that's what's great about the Word of God, because eventually you'll find a couple of pieces that fit, and you're like, oh, man, that's excellent, you know? And that's what we should be about. I mean, we should be joying in him, you know? But it's interesting. We'll go to Luke 21, and we'll see what the Lord is talking about, all right? So we know that we read Daniel 9 talking about the 70 weeks. We know that after 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off. He will be crucified, and he will resurrect. I think I can add that in there. But he's talking right now. He's alive, and he's talking. All right. But we know that Satan has to be dealt with. We know that the millennial kingdom is coming in somewhere, and we know that. We know that Israel is going to be born in a day. That's Ronnie's Jeremiah. We know that's going to happen. That's a promise. So where do all these things happen? When do they happen? And what's wrong with piecing them all together? And so we read the Lord, it says in Luke 21, all right, so as I said, Daniel 9 and Luke 21 and Revelation 12 go together at least. And he said, and he looked up, saw the rich man casting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw also a certain poor widow casting in there 2 mites, which were possibly about 1/8 of a cent each. I mean, this lady was poor. But I have mites, widow's mites, and they're the least of all coins of Israel, all right, at the time. But she gave everything she had, and that's a tremendous principle that applies even to us today. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. What are we given? Are we given 2/3, 1/3, 3/4? Who am I to say? I'm nobody to say. But I'm saying this to me. How much do I give? You know? She gave everything. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she, of her penury, has cast in all the living that she had. Awesome. Awesome widow. Awesome example to all of us. And as some speak of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come in which there shall not be left one stone upon another, and shall not be that shall not be thrown down. Okay, so now we're getting into it again. Now we're going back to this plan. Is he talking about AD 70 with Titus? Or is he talking about the 70th week? Well, Mikey thinks he's talking about the 70th week and not the destruction of Israel by Titus. All right, that's very important. Because some have taken, possibly, this statement and said, well, there you go. The fulfillment of Luke 21 happened in AD 70, and therefore Revelation will never happen. And therefore, the second advent of Christ to Israel will never happen. And therefore, Israel being a blessing to the world will never happen. And so these things are very important, because some folks, no matter how smart they are or not, take some of these things as calculate, misappropriate. They do not correctly divide the scriptures, and they run amok. And so this happens all around us. Okay, but I think the Lord is talking about right before his second advent. Because the man of sin has to arise. And the man of sin, during the Acts period, even between AD 64 and AD 70, did not come. That's a fact. I mean, that's a blatant fact. So, he goes on to say, and they asked him, saying, Master, but what shall these things be, and what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, Take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draws near. Go ye not therefore after them. And so, what was the Lord saying here? What was he saying? What was he saying? He talks about the time drawing near. Did he know that Israel would reject him? Yes. Did he know that Israel, the Acts period, would reject him? Yes. It goes back to what if, what is possible, and what really happened. All right, because the Lord knew this. He's the creator of all things. And so you could say, well, his brain was limited. Okay, that's an answer that, you know, some people might say, well, he was a man, but he was God, but his brain was limited, and so he didn't know what Israel was going to do during the book of Acts. Okay, all right, I guess I can understand that, but I don't believe that. I believe that just like the Father knew, that that Lucifer would fall, just like the Father knew that Adam and Eve would fall, and just like he knew that Israel would fall, he made provision. And so he knew, but he had a plan. It's awesome. And I think there's a lot of really important lessons for us to learn as we look through the plan of God and what happens with his creation. Because you know what? We're part of it. And we're just as likely to be like Israel ourselves. All right? So we can't be sticking our nose up in the air. Believe me, that's true. And in verse 9, But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Well, this is interesting because this has been happening since he's been resurrected for pretty many years. I mean, someone might have believed that World War I was it, World War II, and such, but this has to do with Israel. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences. Fearful signs and great signs there shall be from heaven or in the heavens. Before all these things they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Well, when is this going to happen, or did this happen? Well, certainly they were persecuted during the Acts period, pretty heavily with their lives. But let's read on. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, and not to meditate before ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren, kinfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And they shall, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not be a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is near. Then let them that are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nation. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of Gentiles be filled. Interesting, we can come back to that. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations and perplexities, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts falling them, failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven, or the heavens shall be shaken. And then it goes on to say, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud, with power and with great glory. And so, did this happen yet? And the answer is no, because this talks about the tribulation period and Israel fleeing into the wilderness, and then the second coming of the Son of Man happens. Alright? So this didn't happen yet, but it's the Lord talking about it happening before he died, which is interesting. Alright? That's what I want to point out. And then I'm going to read this to the end and quit. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your head, for your redemption draws near. We know that there will be overcomers during the tribulation. And we know that when the Lord comes back, a lot of things are going to happen. And he's going to set up his millennial kingdom. So he's coming back to set up his millennial kingdom. That's what is being talked about here. And then he spake to them in a parable. And it goes on to talk about a parable. But if we equate this, and I think it's cemented with Revelation 12, which we'll read next time, it talks about Israel fleeing into the wilderness, and that God will feed them like he did Israel in the wilderness with Moses. And that's possibly could be the fulfillment of the Lord's prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. And so what's interesting is to understand that Israel could have accepted their Messiah. And the Lord is talking about a period of time where he's going to come back again in the second advent, I believe here. And so, was it possible that they would have accepted their Messiah? Possibility was there. But what really happened? And so, I'm going to end with that. I know that there could be a lot of statements to what I have said, and that's fine. But, this has to do with the Almighty bringing about his fullness. And that's what we're studying, the fullness of God. So, I hope this made sense to you. I really do. I hope that, I always hope that I speak truth, of course, and I'm not infallible, and that's for sure. So, until next time, we're going to go into Revelation 12 and then go on from there. And so I thank you, folks, tonight. Dear Father, we thank you for this period of time, your precious word, even though we might not understand scriptures that apply to your nation Israel, we still have them before us, and I believe that it's good for us to study them. If nothing else, we can compare them with what you've given to us, which is so, so very precious, unspeakable things. And so we thank you for that. We thank you with thanks that we can't have enough thanks, I would say. We can't have enough thanks. The Apostle Paul said in Romans, no less, he said that the sufferings of this present time weren't even worthy. You know, he was talking about the folks in the book of Acts. He said that if they took all their suffering, it wasn't even worthy to be put up against the glory that should be revealed in them. And so that was talking about, I believe, the New Jerusalem hope through faith, but yet we are called to the right hand of the Father. And so, you know, that is some powerful, powerful faith to lock in our hearts, no matter what the tornado is and what the rough seas are that we face. Thanks a lot.